Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to take responsibility for your words this morning in our congregation. They are words that we cannot be responsible for. Please do what you want with these words that you gave to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, see, this is why Christianity doesn't work. This is why Christianity is perfect for hypocrites. Yeah? People who can have high-minded ideals and sweeping goodwill toward mankind and act like the devil and sleep really well at night. That's who Christianity is for. People who take it to heart and who hear it and suffer, you're always carrying in your heart that tension between what you hear God saying and what you know about your heart and about the life. This teaching of Christ this morning contradicts everything fundamental to human life and society. Human identity depends on having a coherent view of yourself, an inner life where you see, you hear, you taste, you feel, you take the measure of everything around yourself, and you form an idea of yourself, your relationship to others, and how other people see you. If you take everything that you see, touch, taste, feel, and everyone that you encounter around you with the same equanimity, respond with the same flavor to everything and everyone, how can you have your own personality, your own inner life? In addition, you cannot have society because everything depends on taking care of your friends and resisting your enemies and making them pay for what they have done. Oh no, this definitely will not work and even is actively disruptive. You would have a world where you can act any way you wish and there would not be any consequences. People who are selfish and cruel would have all the same advantages that the kind and gentle would have. People would have nothing to stop them from expressing the true impulses of their heart. No social pressure at all, nothing to give them pause in running into evil. It's important that there be clear categories of friend and enemy. This is best for individuals and this is best for society. Then you know where you are. Then you know what to expect. Then you know what you have to do to get ahead. But here are the words of Christ. These words of Christ are not lovely, helpful beacons of light. They are disruptive, upsetting, dangerous words that undermine human society and drive a wedge into families, neighborhoods, and communities. Apparently, it's all or nothing in the kingdom of heaven. As you heard Woody exhorting his children to be perfect, the word here talks about modeling ourselves on Christ. Some of the texts do use the word perfect. The scriptures are not left for us so that we can know the rules and justify ourselves. It won't work that way. We are thrown into confusion by these teachings. We cannot prove that we are doing the right thing, that we are aligned with the correct side. We are thrown out into the world with only the Holy Spirit to navigate by. We cannot judge by externals how to treat people and how to act, but we have to work from the presence of God's mercy that is within us. Oh, you know that this would be a disaster if we acted this way. People who have hurt those we love will be treated just the same as those who have helped them. this distorts the natural flow of human society, and your friends will no longer trust you. Because we know our friends by the way they are on our side. Our friends are suspicious of the people we are suspicious of, and in favor of the people that we are in favor of. It may be very well to sacrifice yourself for a principle, but surely we would not sacrifice our friends and our family. In fact, this cannot be right, because in Psalm 139, the psalmist writes, "Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." The seed of something heavenly. What we are hearing from Christ is a foretaste of heaven. Loving your enemy is the behavior of God, which we only glimpse here on earth. Love is actively seeking the well-being of people. It isn't feelings. It's working for the good of people, whether we personally like them or not. It is praying and working for the will of God, which is always good, in every circumstance and relationship. Seen from another perspective, Christ is teaching us to open up our definition of neighbor, such as in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We read scripture with an open heart, but not an empty mind. Therefore, as one commentator says, but what may be appropriate for a weak enemy, compassion, is not necessarily desirable for a conqueror and his opposing forces. Occupation by an enemy was the daily reality of where Jesus was living. Jesus didn't live in a free country. There was an occupying force in his country. So every day he had to deal. There was an enemy in his town. There was an enemy in his nation every day. Thus the enemy has the power to abuse and take from you. The commentator continues, sketching out how do you respond, not to a weak enemy that you have compassion on, but to a powerful enemy who stands above you with violence. You can be a traitor and you can collaborate. You can go all out for the defense of God's glory and go with weapons to try to drive them out. You can maintain a physical distance from the enemy. Or you can separate political and religious realities. And even hearing the words of Christ, we today range from literally obeying these words, such as the plain people, the Amish people, who set up a society where they don't have doings with the English, with the rest of society, all the way to waging active war to punish and kill an enemy. And perhaps you know that, you know, we're in a Presbyterian church and we respect that, but not all of you are reformed in your theology. Not all of you are Presbyterians. We understand that. But the Presbyterian church from John Calvin, he was not a pacifist. Following Augustine, he believed in a just war. So you may be a pacifist, but the Presbyterian church believes in the principle that there are just wars. And they're willing to wear a military uniform. In other churches, you don't show up in a military uniform if you're in a pacifist church. So our tradition agrees with Augustine and Calvin that it's possible to have a just war. So the interpretation of these scriptures is in a really a wide range. But in a perfect way, we cannot follow through on this teaching as individuals or a society. Some people say that Christ said these words like he put a thermometer out to measure. This shows us how sinful we are. We read this and we're just stunned. We're like, oh, my heart. This is so different from the way that I think. We do not forget that God has taken judgment as his sole prerogative. vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It's in Deuteronomy and quoted in Romans. There is a purity and a holiness in judgment that is beyond the capacity of humans. As we see in our legal system, do their best, but they appeal, they overturn the judgment, they go to a higher court, they change their mind. There's just, it's very difficult to truly understand the heart of a matter in legal decisions. And our compassion for our enemy does not cancel whatever God is doing in that person's life. 1 Corinthians 15, which is another passage that's on the lectionary for today, tells us that if in our life here we only have hope of heaven, we are most miserable of all people. We anticipate something more, but we also get to taste it. But it's not complete. If we think it is, we're just part of that hypocritical structure. We see it happening. We see it starting. We see the seed of something, even among everything that is ugly and vicious. Now, Christ, with his words, is bringing heaven, not to stay in heaven, but here to us, and he is practical. In his own world, the enemy was powerful. The good that you could do was limited to everyday courtesy, which not everybody extended to the Roman soldiers. Generosity when being taken advantage of, and to prayer for the enemy. Some of those prayers may have led to the conversion of the Roman Empire, even though then they became a different kind of a power. The seed was planted by Christ, and it has been growing. This creates something that does not fit in with the rest of society. It is not a harmonious part of society. This is a view of holiness, not that we are holy, but that we rest in God's holiness. We learn of God's mercy by seeing how God treats us and others. And what is God's heart? What is God's pleasure? If you think it's the judgment of his enemies, that's not it. God says that his pleasure is in the repentance and the change of heart of his people. This is the widening circle of Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. We are even stepping out of the role of judge and asking God to deal with our enemy. Change of heart and life together are the seed of the kingdom to come. Hearing what Christ said in the text today, we are shocked into a kind of vision of something beyond what we know or of our hearts, beyond us. It is a different way of being and being together with others. But once we've heard this, we can't unhear it. We can't unsee the glimpse of heaven, how ridiculous and divisive heaven might seem to us while we are struggling with life here. Do we really want this? Do we really trust the character and judgment of God to handle us and the world fairly and justly? Love of enemy while continuing to love life and to love our friends set us on a path to a different world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.